Well, we have to do our Bible homework to make sense of today's text and story, to catch up with it here. It's hard to connect. I can't think of a food, because they're talking about eating stuff here, a food that would cause you or me to be defiled in the same spiritual sense that they're talking about here. So what's going on, as Miss Rhonda already told the kids, is that the cultures around the people of God had their certain ceremonies and practices and certain foods that went along with it that were offered up and celebrated and eaten in an idolatrous way, or a way that served a much different ideology than God was teaching his people. And so to eat whatever those foods were was to communicate, maybe I want to be more associated with all that stuff out in the world and no longer be associated with God, his commandments, and his goodness. So the rule was, don't eat it. One of those famous foods that they weren't supposed to eat was pork. No bacon. You couldn't have the bacon. I know, it's hard to start your day without the bacon. But they couldn't do it because of what it was associated with. So I tried as best I could to think of anything. Can we get close to this idea of eating something and then being defiled? And this is the best that I could come up with. The first thing was this, Twinkies. Yeah, I saw some of you scrunch your nose. Yeah, Twinkies are good for the first bite. And then, well, you got to finish it. And then you just feel defiled, don't you? I had a friend in college. He was a science guy, and I don't know if he was telling the truth or not, or where he learned this, but he said that there's enough preservative in the Twinkie that the Twinkie itself will outlast the plastic, is what he said. Be careful with them. Be careful with them. The other thing is a little bit more dear to me. My father and I and my two younger brothers would go on road trips together, go fishing and whatnot, and of course you had to stop at a gas station. That's what you do on road trips. And he would come back with two things. He'd go into the store, pick up two things, come back to the car. The first was a delight. Oh, we loved getting a Coke that we could have or to share. There's nothing better than a Coke on a road trip, especially this time of year. But the other thing was more of a challenge. It was a kind of a test whether or not we boys would become men someday, because this snack was the hottest, saltiest, and according to my mother, the most disgusting thing that you could bring back into the car. My father would bring back hot and spicy pork rinds. My goodness, you open the bag and it's just a terrible smell. But we would eat it, and if you get the dark red one, that's when you need the Coke, because that is a spicy one. And of course, you eat that and you feel not right. Not right. And if you're a nutritionist, I'm sorry that I brought this up. But this doesn't get us to the same level that Jesus was talking about. These things, if you eat these things, you'll feel a little off, but you won't be kicked out of the community. And that's, of course, what happened back in the day, in the era of Jesus and before then. If you were to partake of these different meals that were celebrated for other gods, other deities, other ideologies, then it was necessary for you to be separated for the purpose of coming back, of being brought back. But at first, they had to say, no, sorry. We've got to say no to those ideologies, those practices, in order to be what God has called us to be, the people of God with a purpose to bless all nations. So if these things don't defile us in that same spiritual way, do other things defile us? And what does that even mean, defile? I mean, have you ever said that to someone else? You're defiled. That's kind of a foreign word in my vocabulary. And again, defile is to be removed, or to be, it's a harsh word, but disgusting. You need to be separated. You need to be cleansed. You need to be healed, unless you infect the community. It's a terrible thing to think about. And Jesus gives us a litany of 13 things in our gospel reading, 13 things that he says defile us much more than Twinkies or pork rinds. These lists like this for me are the kind of things where I read the scriptures and I just fly through it. There's a bombardment in these lists. And at best, sometimes I'll think, oh yeah, I know Sally, she needs to spend more time with this list. Or Joe over there, boy, he should read the top part of this list again. But it's hard for these things to sink into my own heart because I fly through them. So we're going to take a closer look. It might feel a little uncomfortable to look at this list, to dwell on it. But we do so with the hopes that our physician, our great physician and healer, Jesus, would point out within us what is not right, what is ill, what is sick, in order that his good medicine might take root. And of course, we don't want to be defiled. We don't want to be kicked out of a community, removed. But Jesus also doesn't want us to bring on our sicknesses. For this list is going to feel like going out into your backyard. And if you've got a dog, you know your dog goes to the restroom in your yard. And this list is going to feel like going out, stepping in something unfortunate, and then walking into the house with those same shoes. We don't want that. We don't want that. We don't want that disgust. So the list begins with evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Well, that's an easy one to write off unless you dwell on it a little bit more. I've been here. Evil thoughts are the kind of thoughts that's like an echo in your own mind, a back and forthness between ear and other ear. Evil thoughts are that conversation you have about your boss, about your coworkers, about your family, about your neighbors or your neighborhood, or about those people, whoever they happen to be. Back and forth, your mind goes until it begins to swirl deeper and deeper, darker and darker into a vortex of darkness. I've been there, and I bet you have too. Along the swirl goes. Next on the list is sexual immorality. That, well, it seems harmless, but the pursuit, the curiosity of an image, an aroma of a perfume or a cologne, and you just walk a little bit further. There's nothing wrong with a little curiosity, is there? Off you go, filling little by little with a thought, an action maybe you would like to take. Theft comes next. Stealing, whether or not anyone is watching. The little things you might take, maybe the big things. Murder is on this list, and I do not know how many people Jesus was talking to who had actually committed murder. I don't know any. But yet we understand murder to be something far deeper than just killing someone. We understand murder is to deprive others of life or the chance of life. Murder is just surrendering. And this, you know, I don't want to deal with it. I'm too busy. In a way, their life is sapped. Adultery is next on the list. And of course, that's the next step in this sexual immorality that Jesus listed. It's just the further pursuit along the aromas that are so intriguing. Coveting is this greediness, this bringing in more and more and more into your homes, into your storage units, wherever you store stuff. You don't need it, but in it comes, and you just got to have it. You just got to have more and more as you collect it, all to yourself, all to yourself. Wickedness comes next, Jesus says, and this is the plotting and the equipping of yourself to speak just a little bit of darkness, just a little bit of evil. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And oh boy, you can become good at it if you keep practicing. Deceit, then, is the next step on the list. And that's really just getting away with it. Again, you practice it and you become pretty good at these things. Sensuality is on the list next. And that's just plunging into the state of, I don't care anymore. I don't care. I've already sinned once, so what more does it matter? I'm just going to dive all in, and it feels good. The trigger that you get, the little hit that you get out of doing just one more thing. One more thing. Envy. Looking around you and saying, oh, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to have one of those. It would be really nice to have what they have. Oh, I can't wait to get what they have. And all you think about is getting whatever it is that you want to get. Who wants the new iPhone? Who wants the new Google Pixel? Slander. Speaking crooked things in order to create a crooked outcome. Speaking just in the right way that someone else might be viewed with a little suspicion. Or maybe another organization might be viewed with just a little salt. Pride. Boy, this is just flat out arrogance. Pride is when someone just praises themselves. Look at what I have accomplished. You've got to see what I have done, what I could do. Watch me. Don't watch anyone else. Watch me. I can do it. Let me tell you all about myself. And the last one, thankfully, we've gotten to the last one in this list, is foolishness. Foolishness is far more than what it seems. For foolishness is to become desensitized to morality or to spirituality. You just don't care anymore. You don't feel it anymore. You can't feel it anymore. You want to, but you can't. And this foolishness, this desensitization might be because of all the other things in your life. You're tapped out. You're done. You don't care anymore. These things, Jesus says, are what defile you. These things. These come from within. And as I read the list, no doubt there was one or two that made you think, ugh, that touches my heart. Yes, I've seen it. I've felt it. I've seen it just erupt from my soul. You've known that, yes, in the wake and in the trail that you have left, there is some filth, some dirt. You have, in your life, gone out into your yard and stepped into something unfortunate, and you've drug it right here into the sanctuary, the holy place of God. Thankfully, this is not where the story ends. Thankfully, the next story in Mark's gospel, the one you'll spend a little bit more time on next week, is a story where a foreign woman from a place that would be called defiled, Syrophoenicia. This woman comes into Jesus and she says, Jesus, you have to heal my daughter. This foreign, defiled woman comes in and says, my daughter has a demon. And that is a darkness that I do not have words for. That is a defilement that I cannot describe. But in this woman comes, and she says to Jesus, please, anything. We have no idea how she finds Jesus. At this part in the story, Jesus is actually hiding, seeking solitude. But this woman, this defiled woman, comes to Jesus and says, help me, heal my little girl. Her eyes were on Jesus, just as our eyes are on Jesus. And this Jesus that we have come to know, come to trust, heals the woman's daughter from a distance. He says to the woman, your daughter is healed. The darkness, the defilement has left her. Jesus expelled the darkness within that little girl. And today, though we have made plenty of excuses for our habits, our inclinations, we've dismissed our behaviors, the same Jesus now looks at you and looks at me. He knows where we've been. He knows we've been out into the backyard of our lives. He can smell it on us. But he does not condemn us. He does not condemn you. Instead, he says, I love you. I forgive you for what you have done and where you have been. I love you. I forgive you. Now, stop this behavior. It smells. It stinks. Stop it. It's not good for you. And be free. Don't be led around by this filth that you know resides within the dark places of your heart. Don't let that have the final word. Instead, come to the supper and be filled with Christ's own self through and through, so that what once ruled your heart might be expelled, and that Christ himself might reign little by little. For he is the one who promises to cleanse our hearts. Yes, it is a continued work. He has forgiven us, and he continues to clean us. So come hungry. Come and be fed with Christ himself. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses everything that we could control or fully understand, may this peace guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.